Well, hi everyone. We're doing our third session on the Holy Spirit today, and we've done two. The first session that we did, we did a session on just some of the theology of the Holy Spirit and some basic things to do with the Holy Spirit. And then the second session we did was on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I trust that you gained a good understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and why we can trust in it, and why we can believe in it, because what we see in the Word of God. And so today we want to talk about, in the third session on the Holy Spirit, we want to talk about hearing the voice of God. Because the very last one that we're going to do in the Holy Spirit has to do with the gifts of the Spirit. And so in order to move in the gifts of the Spirit, obviously you need to hear from the Holy Spirit. You need to hear what He's saying to you. So much of the gifts, whether it be word of knowledge, word of wisdom, whether it be the prophetic, whether it be signs and wonders, healing, miracles, so much of it depends on your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, which says this: "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His." And so this was said to King Asa, who wasn't doing so good. And God really challenged him, but he made this statement that God strongly supports those whose heart is completely His. And one of the things about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and moving in the Holy Spirit is our willingness to obey the Holy Spirit. If we're obeying Him and we're willing to do what God tells us to do, then we hear His voice. If I'm disobedient in my heart and my heart is not right, then why should God speak to me? And I wouldn't do it if He did speak to me. A second scripture that really speaks to me and is one of my favorites to do with this whole area is in Psalm 40, verse 5, which says this: "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which You have done, and Your thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with You. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count." And so when I first saw that verse, I realized that God is thinking about me all the time, that His thoughts towards me are so numerous that they cannot be counted. Think about that for a minute. Why would God think about you all day long and not share some of those thoughts with you? And when I read that verse of Scripture, I realized that God wants to speak to me, that God wants me to hear the thoughts that He has about me and towards me. And so I realized that the problem is not whether God wants to speak to me or not. It comes down to whether I'm willing to actually hear from God and whether I will actually respond to Him. So that really quickened me to realize that I needed to learn, as a new Christian, I needed to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. And I remember when I, as a new believer, reading these verses and coming to the conclusion that it was possible to hear the voice of God, because I was, during that time of my life, I was in a very conservative evangelical church which did not believe that God spoke to you anymore. They believed that since we had the Bible, that God just didn't speak to us, that we had the Scriptures written down, so we would never hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I accepted that in the early days of my Christian faith. But after reading verses like this, and after reading the book of Acts and reading the epistles, I began to realize that that's not true, that God wants to speak to us, that He has many things to say to us, and it's by hearing His voice that I learn what His plans are for my own life. You know, Paul had very much the attitude that God had a plan, that God had a ministry call for him. He said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, to the elders at Ephesus, he said, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." And so God has had a plan for Paul's life. He's got a plan for our life as well. And again, in order for me to fulfill that plan, I need to be able to hear from Him. What's He saying to me? What's His will for me? And so when I began to understand these things, it had a huge impact on me. And then as we talked about last session, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and those two things really changed my whole life. And I remember I began to really hunger, and I'll talk a bit more about that later on in this message, but I began to really hunger to hear God's voice. And I began to really seek Him and call on Him. and just had a strong desire. And I started to hear his voice. And some of my earliest times, I remember I was a school teacher at that time, and I remember one day walking around my classroom. I would always stay after class, and I would always have a time of prayer in my classroom at the end of the day. And I would shut the door and walk around the room. And I was praying one day, and one of the very first times I really heard God speak to me to do with my life and what he wanted to do with my life was I heard God say to me one day, you know, you're a teacher and you can teach, but I want you to teach eternal things and not temporal things. Other people can teach math and science and biology, but I want you to teach the Word of God. And I remember clearly hearing God speak that to me, and that was long before I was in the ministry, but I never forgot it. And that was one of the very first indicators that I felt that God was calling me to do something other than being a school teacher. Not that there's anything wrong with being a school teacher. It's a great career. But I felt that God was saying, let others do that. I'm calling you to preach my word. I remember one other time early in my Christian life that my wife Linda and I were praying one night. And we would pray before we went to bed at night. And we were just having a time of prayer in our living room. And taking turns praying, and Linda was praying, and I was just agreeing with her, and all of a sudden, the room just kind of slowly faded away, and I had a vision, the very first vision that I ever had as a believer, and I saw a man, I saw a man that from the hips down, he had no upper body, but I knew in the vision that I was actually looking at myself. And that the person in that vision was me. And this particular individual had three millstones on his right leg. I had three stones. And a millstone is a round rock with a hole in the center that they used to grind flour. And I had three of these rocks on my leg. And in the vision, I saw myself walking across my field of vision. And I was walking like this. I was just dragging my right leg like this because of the three stones, I couldn't lift my leg. And as I watched myself, in a sense, walk across my field of vision, the voice of the Holy Spirit said these words to me. This is your walk in Christ. And in the vision, I started to argue with God. And I started saying, what? How can this be my walk in Christ? And I began to protest. And I began to say to the Lord, look, Lord, you know how hungry I am for you and how I'm in the Word and I'm in prayer. And how can you tell me that this is my walk in Christ? And then the vision ended. And pop, I was back in the room and Linda was still praying. And so I stopped her. I said, Linda, stop. I said, I got to share with you what just happened to me just now. And so I shared the vision with her But I had no idea what these three stones were. Obviously, these three stones were what was hindering me, but I didn't at that point think I was being hindered by anything. I was on fire for the Lord, and I was doing what God wanted me to do. So what could those three stones be? What was it that was hindering me? And so Linda said, well, why don't we just pray and ask? And so we just started praying again, and we started praying, saying, Lord, what are those three stones? What's hindering my walk in Christ? And the Lord spoke to Linda this time and said, and showed her what these three stones were. And one of them was my job, which I loved. I loved my job. And the second stone was the youth ministry that I had. And I was having a revival with the youth ministry that I had in the high school. And the third one was the church that I was a part of. And I was a preaching elder in that church at that point, and I was preaching. And so the Lord was saying that those were the three best things in my life. And God was saying, those three things have got to go. And so I just couldn't, you know, so Linda said, these are the three things. And I believed it. I knew it was true. And I just didn't know how that could ever come to pass. And within a year, all three of those things were gone. Within a year, I resigned from my youth ministry. I quit my job. We left the church that we were in, and we started planting churches. And so it all came to pass. And what God was trying to tell me is that those are the three things that were the most important to me. Those are the three things that caused me to be very secure in my own life. And what God was telling me was, if I was not willing to let go of three of the best things in my life that I would hinder my walk in him. And so it wasn't like God was saying, you got all these bad things in your life that you got to let go of. I had to be willing to let go of some of the best things in my life in order to be free to follow the plan of God and what God had for me. And so that was, but that again, there's an example of the importance of hearing the word of God, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Paul, I love this portion in the book of Acts where Paul's on his first missionary journey. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, it says, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so here we see Paul and Barnabas trying to go into various countries to preach and the Holy Spirit blocking them. I mean, when's the last time you were ever blocked by the Holy Spirit to not to do something that seemed like the right thing to do? But here we see the Holy Spirit guiding and directing the steps of Paul and Barnabas and saying, it's not time yet to go into those countries. And he said, come over to Macedonia. And when they saw in a vision the man waving them into Macedonia, they concluded that God was directing them there. And so the Holy Spirit will direct us. In our lives, he's got a plan, he's got a purpose for our life, and me hearing from the Holy Spirit is so critical in order for me to know what God wants of me and for me to live the life that God has called me to live. And so we also know that Paul was being hard-pressed, he was being persecuted. And in Acts chapter 18, verse 9, it says, and the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking. And do not be silent. And so here we see the Lord personally speaking to Paul and encouraging Paul, saying, Paul, don't be intimidated by the persecution and the obstacles that you're facing. Keep going. And so we need to hear from God. We need to hear from God ourselves. And that's the purpose of that's one of the main functions of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, another example of Paul and being directed by the Holy Spirit. He says that in verse 1, then after an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. It was because of a revelation that I went up, and I submitted to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but I did so in private to those who were of reputation for fear that I might be running or had run in vain. And so Paul didn't just say, you know, I think I'll just go up to Jerusalem. Might be kind of good to talk to the boys and talk to Peter and some of the apostles. No, he went up by revelation. The Holy Spirit spoke to him and he responded and he went. And so when I read verses like that and I see how the Holy Spirit will direct our steps, it's so important to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the common verses that pretty much every believer knows by heart is, for lack of vision, the people perish. Or another way of translating that verse is, where there is no revelation, and in brackets, present hearing from God, the people cast off restraint. So that verse is saying where there is no revelation, where there is no present hearing from God, I get careless in my life. Can I tell you that hearing the voice of God is the most exciting thing that will ever happen to you as a Christian? I mean, there's nothing more exhilarating than hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and saying, you know what, the God of the universe is talking to me. Speaking to me personally. There's nothing more exhilarating than that. And when that begins to happen, let me tell you something, that fires you up. But when you get to if you ever get to a place in your life where you're not presently hearing from the Holy Spirit, or maybe you haven't heard from the Holy Spirit in a long time, what tends to happen is we start backsliding. We start getting careless in our lives. We start getting apathetic. We start getting careless. We start getting lazy. We're not exhilarated anymore. And so that's what in the book of Proverbs, where there's no revelation, where there's no present hearing from God, the people cast off restraint. Micah the prophet said this again to Israel. He said in Micah 4 verse 12, but they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, and they do not understand his purpose. And so if I don't hear the thoughts of God, I no longer understand what he's saying. I don't understand his purpose. I don't understand what's going on. We're living in an interesting time right now with this COVID-19 virus. And we need to hear from the Holy Spirit. We need to know, hey, God, what's going on here? What's happening? What are you in this, or are you not in this, or what should I do, or how should I conduct myself? We need to hear from the Holy Spirit. You know, another, at the very end of the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit says this through Luke, and it says in verse 27, it talks about Israel. And he says, for the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. And so what the Holy Spirit is saying about Israel is, they won't hear, they can't hear. Because they can't hear, they don't know what I'm doing, and I want to heal them. I want to change their heart. I want to fire them up. I want to refresh them. But because they refuse to hear, they are not healed, and they are not refreshed. And so when I read verses like that, I find those kinds of verses frightening. Because then we say, oh, well, you know, Israel kind of blew it. Yeah, but what about you and I? Am I still hearing? Am I still hearing the voice of God? When's the last time that you actually heard the Holy Spirit speak to you? I remember one time, again, early days, I was at Christ for the Nations many, many years ago. I was down there for Christian school meetings. And I was in Dallas, and Christ of the Nations has their main Bible school there. And the guy that I was staying with, a guy, a stranger, but they kind of put us in, had to share a room with somebody. And here this guy, this is a guy from Louisiana, and he was a well-known preacher. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know until later that he was a famous preacher. I just was just an ordinary guy like me. And so he said to me one night, hey, Dave, Christ of the Nations has a midweek meeting. Do you want to go? And so I said, sure, let's go. It was on a Wednesday night. When I got there, I found out he was the speaker. And what he did is he preached on healing. And at that time, I had a really bad infection in my ear, and I was in a lot of pain. My ear was just throbbing. I was in, you know what earaches are like. And I was in a lot of pain. And so at the end of his message, he gave an altar call for people to come forward to be healed. And nobody moved. Nobody got out of their seat. And I was sitting there too, and my ear was killing me. And so the Holy Spirit said to me, if you get up and go down there, I'll heal your ear. Because I've been asking the Lord, God, would you heal my ear? God, would you take this pain away? And the Lord said, if you'll get out of your seat and go down there, I'll heal your ear. So I went down there. I was the first guy up there. And that kind of sparked it. So a lot of other people started coming as well. And I went down there, and that guy laid hands on me, and bang, my ear was healed. That was it. The pain was gone. Never, ever came back. Infection was gone. And so it was pretty important for me to hear the voice of the Lord at that moment and respond. It resulted in me being healed. I remember another time, a number of years later, and my wife was really ill and was in the hospital in Winnipeg and was actually going through surgery. And that morning, I was sitting in a waiting room, waiting to hear what the results of the surgery would be. And so it was a time in my life where I was really going through a really hard time and difficult. It was in a very confusing time for me, and I was actually angry at God during this period of time, and I couldn't figure out why God was allowing Linda and I to go through this, and especially her to go through this. And so I was pretty frustrated. So I was sitting in this room by myself, and then there was one other man in there besides me, and this guy had been sleeping on a couch, and he'd obviously been there all night, and this was early in the morning, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said these words to me, I want you to go and talk to that guy. And I was angry at God, and I was depressed, and I said no. And the Lord kept urging me, go get up and go and talk to that guy. And I wouldn't do it. And so what happened was I had a vision. It's the second one that I had. I had a vision, and in the vision, I saw myself walking across the room, sitting down beside this guy and asking him a certain question, which he then responded to, and in the vision, I led him to Jesus. I led him to Christ within a few minutes. And then, pop, I was back, and the Lord said to me again, go ask him that question. Well, now he's got my attention. And so I said, okay. So I got up. I walked across the room. It was the strangest experience. Because I had seen it in the vision, I absolutely knew that this guy was going to be saved. Because it was like going through a movie or seeing a movie for a second time. I had already seen it. I knew what was going to happen. So I sat down. I asked the question. He answered the way I knew he would answer. And very quickly, I led him to Christ. Then as soon as he became a Christian, I asked him what he was doing there. And he said his wife was in intensive care. She was in a deep coma. She was not breathing on her own. She was on total life support system. He didn't know why. The doctors didn't know why she was in this deep coma. He had come home a few days earlier and found his wife on the kitchen floor, unconscious on the kitchen floor. And they had her on intensive care and life support. And he said to me, "We're losing her. We don't know why, but we're losing her." And so I said these words. I quoted Psalm 103, verse 3, which says, "He forgives all our iniquities and he heals all our diseases." And I said to him, "Look, you just came to Jesus. The first part of this verse has come true in your life. He's forgiven you all your sins." And I said, "The last part of this verse says he heals all our diseases." I said, "Can I pray for your wife?" And he said, "Sure, why not?" So I put my hand on his shoulder and I prayed these words, "Jesus, please make this man's wife well. Amen." Wasn't it like my best prayer? I'm not doing great. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. So he said, "Okay," he thanked me. And he got up and he said, "I'm going to go check on her." So he went. And so I was kind of walking around this room, waiting room. I was the only one in there at this point, praying for Linda. And finally, after about half an hour, I kind of got tired of being in there. So I thought, well, I'm just going to go out in the hallway and walk back and forth in front of the operating theater where Linda is. And so I was doing that. And intensive care was just down the hall a little bit and around the corner. And this nurse came out of intensive care. And so I was curious, and I knew the man's wife's name. So I stopped the nurse, and I said, "How is so-and-so doing?" And she must have thought I was a relative or whatever because I knew her name. And she said, "Oh," she said, "she just came out of that coma, and she's revived." And then a bit more time went by, and her husband came out. The guy that I'd led to Christ came out. And he is literally leaping and jumping like the lame man at the gate described in Acts chapter 3. And he is excited and he sees me in the hallway and he literally jumped on me and was pounding me on the back and he was thanking me for praying for him and praying for his wife and he blubbered on about a few other things and then he ran down the stairs. And I just kind of went like this up to the ceiling saying to the Lord, "God, what are you doing? My wife's in surgery right here." And I prayed 1,000 prayers for her, and she's still in surgery, and I pray one unbelieving prayer for this guy's wife, and you instantly heal her. And I phoned this guy up a week later and said, "How you doing?" He said, "Great." I said, "How's your wife?" He said, "Fine." I said, "Where is she?" He said, "She's at home." I said, "Did they ever find out why she was in this coma?" They said they never found out what the problem really was. She was just back. And so there's an example again of hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, which released salvation to this man and released healing to his wife. And so that's why hearing the voice of the Lord is so important. And when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and we talk about gifts of healing, I'm convinced that one of our problems, people say to me, "Dave, why don't we see more healings? Why don't we see more miracles? Why don't we see more of the power of God?" I think one of the problems we have is that we do not yet hear as well as we could. And we are not focused on that. And I think if we heard better, we would see more happen because God would be directing our steps. I remember one time, even in terms of hearing the voice of the Lord, God protects us. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." God is saying something to us as a church. God is saying something by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so are we hearing what the voice of God is really saying in these days? And sometimes God's whispers actually can save us from trouble. A few years ago, I began to have a really mild heart symptom. And it was nothing that I never took it seriously. I had no idea at that time that it was my heart. And so I was about to get on an airplane and go to India. And And so as we were driving to the office here just two days before I was to leave, I kind of mentioned to my wife that, you know, I had a little burning sensation in my shoulder that would show up when I would walk real fast. And so I thought it was a bit of a bronchial issue because I've had problems with that in the past. And my wife was thinking that way too. So she said these words to me, "Dave, you need to check that out before you get on that plane to India." And my response to her was, "Nah, I'm too busy. It's only 2 days before I go. What are the odds of me seeing my doctor in such short notice? No, I'm not doing it. And so I don't have time for this." And so I get to the office. I got here. I got to the office. And I'm sitting at my desk and I'm trying to work. And these words keep, this strong impression keeps interrupting my thoughts. And it was these words, "Check it out. Check it out. Check it out." And I just could not get that out of my mind. And it was so distracting, I couldn't work anymore. So I got up out of my chair and I started walking around my office. And I still heard this, "Check it out. Check it out." So then I said, "Lord, is that you? Are you telling me to check out this symptom that I have? Is that really you?" Then I said, I kind of threw it off. I said, "It sounds like you. Because listen to me, you can begin to learn what his voice sounds like. When you start hearing his voice more and more and more, you become sensitized to know that's the voice of the Lord. I know what that voice sounds like." And so I said, "God, that sounds like you." So I said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick my phone up right now." I thought, I'm going to test this out. I said, "God, if this is really you, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick up my phone right now. I'm going to phone my doctor. And if I can get an appointment with him in these next 2 days, I'll do it. I'll check it out. But if I don't, I'm going to ignore this." And so I picked up the phone. I'm not expecting that I'm going to get an appointment. I pick up the phone. I phone my doctor's office. His secretary comes on, and I tell him what I want. And I said, "I'd like to see my doctor." And she says, "You know what, Dave? You just had a cancellation. Why don't you come on down here right now?" And so that just kind of shocked me. And I hung the phone up and I thought, "Whoa, I think this is God." So I went down there and he listened to me. He didn't even examine me, actually. He just asked me a few questions. And then he said these words to me, "Cancel your flights." I said, "What?" "Yeah, cancel your flight. You're not going." I said, "I have to go. I'm speaking at a conference. I'm the main speaker." He said, "I don't care. You're not going." And to make a long story short, a few days later, I was in the hospital. Went to the hospital, had a stress test, absolutely failed that test, did some more tests, ended up having open heart surgery. So the doctor told me, the surgeon that did my surgery said to me these words the night before my surgery. He said, "Dave, if you would have got on that airplane, you would have been a one-way trip. You would have never returned alive from that trip." And so hearing the voice of God literally saved my life. And I believe the Holy Spirit would warn us and stop us from things and save us from some difficulties and trouble. He doesn't obviously save us from all of it, but there are some things we could avoid if we were hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, many times I have been prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something. And when I do it, incredible results happen. I remember again early on in my journey reading a book one night, and it was actually on the Holy Spirit, and in the first chapter of this book, it was talking about how we treat the gift of God's Son like a 10-cent gift. And the example, the illustration went like this, that if somebody gave you 10 cents, how many people would you tell about it? Would you phone all your friends and neighbors and your family and say, "Hey, this person gave me a dime. Would you tell anybody?" And the answer to that was no. But if somebody gave you $10,000, would you tell anybody? And the answer is, yeah, you bet. I'd be telling a few people if somebody handed me $10,000. And so he was saying that the gift of God's Son is infinitely more valuable than any amount of money. And yet we treat that gift like a 10-cent gift because we don't tell anybody about Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. And so I was convicted by that. It smote my heart. It was late. It was on a Saturday night. It was pretty late. So I was smitten by that. And I went to bed. And then a couple days later, it was during the summer, I was sitting on my back step, and we were living in a new house in a new subdivision, and they were building houses around us, and the house next door to us was being built. And these two young guys were working on a foundation. And I was sitting on my back step, and I happened to look at them, and the Holy Spirit immediately spoke to me and said these words to me. "Well, Dave, 10-cent gift or $10,000 gift?" And I kind of gulped, and I thought, I knew right then that God wanted me to talk to those guys about Jesus. So I said, okay, you have to understand that I'm a new Christian at that point, and I don't know if I'd led anybody to Jesus at that point in my life. So I went in the house, I got a tract, and I put it in my pocket, and I went out, and I was working in my garden, trying to work up enough courage to talk to those guys so I could tell them about Jesus, and I couldn't do it. All day long, I worked in the garden. There wasn't a weed left in that piece of ground, and it got towards the end of the day, and one of the guys jumped on his bike and rode away, and the second guy was still there, but it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I knew that he was going to go home soon. So I said, in desperation, I cried out to the Lord, and I said this. I said, "God, I'm too chicken to go over there and try to engage this guy in a conversation. I don't know what I would say. I don't know how to lead anybody to Jesus." And I said, "God, if you really want me to talk to him, if this is really you, then you bring him over in my yard," because there were no fences up at that point. "You bring him over here." And no sooner had I prayed that than Linda put Tracy, my daughter, out into the yard to play, who was only a couple years old. And this guy threw a shovel down and walked into my yard and started engaging my little girl in a conversation. So I thought, "Well, God, I prayed that if you wanted me to talk to him, you'd bring him over here, and here he is." So I didn't know what to do. I started walking towards him, and I whipped this tract out of my pocket, which was something about, "Are you going to heaven?" And I said something about, "Are you going to heaven?" or "heaven?" And the guy immediately fell on his knees, and tears squirted out of his eyes, and he started repenting for his sins. And I was able to lead him to Jesus right there in the dirt. It just happened so fast. And he then went home and got his Bible, came back to my house, and we did a Bible study, and he ended up in the first church that we planted in Swan River, and he's still in that church to this day. And so it's just really interesting, again, how hearing the voice of God is so powerful, and when you act on it, when you respond on it, God does something. I remember one time praying for this guy who was really afflicted with arthritis, symptoms of arthritis, and he was really crippled, and he could hardly move, and he was in a lot of pain. And I remember as elders, we came and we laid hands on him, and we prayed for him. And so then he went his way, and a week went by, and he came back, and he said, "You know, I wasn't healed. I'm just as bad now as I was a week ago." And so I thought, okay, my first thought was, let's pray for him again. But then I felt checked. I said, hold it. You know, why wasn't he healed last week? I said, why don't we, instead of just laying hands on him a second time and anointing him with oil, why don't we spend some time in prayer and ask the Lord why he wasn't healed last week? And so we did. We started spending some time in prayer, walking around saying, "Lord, you know, do you have some direction for us in terms of praying for this man a second time who's really crippled up with a lot of pain?" And so as we were praying, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say these words, "Dave, it's not a healing. It's a deliverance. The man needs to be delivered. It's an attack by an evil spirit." And so I felt, okay. So then the elders gathered around this guy again. We took authority over a spirit of infirmity and took authority over that demonic spirit that was attacking him. He went home, and he was immediately healed. He went home and he got healed at home. And never those symptoms never ever came back. It was gone. And so again, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and even directing us in how we should pray. Many times somebody gets sick or whatever, we just slap hands on, we just pray a few quick prayers, but we never asked. We never waited on the Lord and say, "God, would you give us some direction about this situation? Maybe you have something very specific to say to us that would guide us and in how we should take authority over this thing." And so there's so many examples of that, and I could just go on and tell you story after story about how important it is to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and what kind of difference it actually makes in our life and how eager the Holy Spirit is to talk to us and to guide us and to lead us and to convict us and on and teach us his ways. I mean, there's so many things. So I want to kind of shift gears here for a minute. In the last little bit of time I have, I want to talk to you about, well, how can I hear from God? What is involved in me hearing from the Holy Spirit? And I want to say to you, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you can hear from God. It's not just the few elite Christians who get that understanding or get that privilege. Anybody, any Christian can hear from the Holy Spirit. In fact, God is eager to talk to you. And the issue is not him speaking. The issue is in us hearing. That's the biggest problem. And so the first thing is, you need to have a hunger to hear the voice of God. I remember again as a new Christian, when I first began to tune into the fact that we actually could hear from the Holy Spirit. And I thought that was amazing. And I remember one time, this is back in the days of cassette tapes, but I remember hearing this woman talking about how you could hear the voice of God. And it so stirred me that I just had such a strong desire to have God speak to me and to hear his voice. And so I began to seek him. And I began to get hungry for him. And I think having that hunger is one of the first things that's so important. Unfortunately, many believers, they don't have that hunger. You can just go through life going to church. You can read your Bible. You can live a pretty good, nice Christian life and go to heaven at the end. That's true. But when you begin to realize Almighty God will actually talk to me and I can have a conversation with him and have that kind of a relationship, it produces in you such a hunger. Say, I just got to have it. I just got to be able to hear his voice. And every time I've heard the voice of God, I'll tell you, you can't hear his voice and not be exhilarated by the fact that the God of the universe has talked to you, has spoken to you. I mean, every time I've ever heard God's voice where it's just a clear word, I'll tell you, it stirs me up. And that's why it's so vital. And I believe that it's learned behavior, that we need to learn how to hear his voice and we need to learn what his voice actually sounds like. But if you have a hunger and you say, God, I want to hear from you, I want to hear your voice, I'm pressing in, I'm seeking you, you mark my words, you will begin to hear. Second thing is that we need to get quiet enough to hear the voice of God. And in our present society, that's a problem. Because there is so much distraction in our society. There is so much noise. And I look at people, that go walking or they're jogging or they're in their car and they got music on all the time. They got earbuds stuck in their ears and they're listening to something all the time. Can I tell you that when I get in my car, I rarely turn the radio on. I don't listen to anything. When I get in my car, it's one of those times when I'm by myself, especially if I'm in the car by myself, and I just love the quietness where I can just begin to unwind. Many times when I will travel, Linda would say, Dave, why don't you fly to Calgary or why don't you fly to Winnipeg? She said, no, I'm going to drive. I like driving. And in the car, it's just me and I can have several hours of undistracted time. And those are times that I value and those are times when it's quiet and I can begin to hear the voice of God. But so many people live with noise. They're either listening to music or they're listening to an iPod or they're watching television and just the whole hustle and bustle of their life. There's no room for the voice of the Holy Spirit to even break in. Or people's minds are so anxious and they got so many worries and so many problems. Their mind is racing so hard and there's so many things going on in their mind that again, it blocks out the voice of God. It's kind of interesting for me that one of the most common times in my day when I will hear the voice of God is when I'm just going to sleep at night or when I first wake up in the morning. And I have a habit where on the table beside my bed, I have always have a pen and paper. Because many times, just as I'm drifting off to sleep, God will speak to me. And or when I first wake up in the morning, the first thoughts in my head, many times, they're God's thoughts. God's talking to me. And, you know, I remember complaining to God one time, saying, "Lord, why do you always have to speak to me just as I'm drifting off into sleep, and then you start talking to me, and which means I got to get out of bed, and I go write this stuff down, because if I don't write it down the next morning, I'll wake up and say, I know God was talking to me last night, but I can't remember what it was." And so I've learned if I don't write it down, I've lost it. And so I said, "Why do you do that?" And I felt, one day I felt the Lord say to me, "Well, Dave, when you're just drifting off to sleep, or when you first wake up in the morning, your mind hasn't kicked into gear yet. And I can actually get through to you. Because once we get going on our day, our minds are racing so hard on so many things that many times we don't hear." And that's why I think Jesus would spend times alone. He would go up to a mountaintop by himself, or he would be praying, or he would withdraw, and he would hear from the Holy Spirit. And many times he would get direction as to what to do. The Bible tells us that he prayed all night long, and then he went and chose his 12 disciples. Obviously, God had spoken to him during that time. We know that when Jesus was going to the cross, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And, of course, he had an incredible battle there. But the Holy Spirit was also strengthening him and helping him and helped him get through that whole time. One of the things that I do that I learned early on is reading my Bible in a systematic way. I've always followed a Bible reading plan. And I think that's really important, because if you have a systematic daily reading of the Bible, what I've experienced is that many times God will quicken something to me out of the scriptures, or something will leap off the page at me, and it's not me just reading for content. So when I read my Bible, I'm not just reading for information. I'm not just reading for content. I'm reading the Bible saying, "Lord, speak to me out of your word. Quicken something in your word to me." And many times that happens to me, where I'm reading the word and all of a sudden this thing will jump out at me, or God will address something in my life or speak to me. And I realize it's not just content now, it's not just information, that actually the Holy Spirit is speaking to me through the word of God. And so that's why systematically reading your Bible every day is so critical. It positions you to hear the voice of God. A third aspect of hearing the word of God is many times during worship. I'll hear the voice of God, or in a prayer time. If I'm in a prayer meeting, or I'm in a worship time, or I'm in that kind of atmosphere, many times I'll hear the voice of God. If I'm preaching, if I come here on a Sunday morning and I'm the one that's preaching, I almost never hear anything from God at that point, or I rarely would prophesy or hear something from God the morning that I'm preaching. Say, why? Because my mind is so full with what I'm going to preach in a few minutes, there's no room in my head. So it'd be rare for me to hear the voice of God in that time. But if I'm not preaching, if I'm just coming to church and I'm just worshiping and I don't have any pressure that I'm going to be speaking in a few minutes, many times during worship, I'll hear the voice of God. And so what I do now, of course, I used to write it down, because I've learned that if God speaks to you, you need to record it in some way. Either you write it down, or you speak into a tape recorder, or you whatever, but you need to because 2 days later, you won't remember what he said. And so many times during a worship service, I'll sit down and whip up my cell phone, and I'm typing on my cell phone. And Linda will say to me, "Dave, put your phone away. Put your phone away. People are watching. They think you're just on your cell phone." I say, "Listen, sweetheart, I'm on my cell phone because God's speaking to me, and I'm recording this right now. So it's okay. Let people think what they want to think. So if you see me in a worship service, sitting in the front row and I'm down with my cell phone, I am not looking at the news. I'm not checking the sports scores. That's because the Holy Spirit has said something to me and I'm writing it down." So, but as many times that happens during that worship time, I like being in a prayer meeting where just a lot of people are praying and praying out, and I'm just walking around praying and being in that atmosphere. Many times I'll hear the voice of God during that time. And then finally, unexpected times where the Holy Spirit will just out of the blue, just say something to me. and it just can come right out of left field. One of the most powerful times was when I was in 1987 in the spring. I was, just to give you an example of that, I was driving home from a pastor's conference with two other pastors in the car, and we were driving from the West Coast all the way to Manitoba in one shot. And we were taking turns driving, and I was driving in my car across the state of Washington, just west of Spokane. And all of a sudden, unexpectedly, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said these words: "You will go to Regina, you will pastor Maranatha Christian Center." Boom. Just like that. Just bang, just like that. And it totally shocked me. And at first, I started rebuking the devil. And then God came a second time and said to me, asked me a question: "What if this is me?" And as soon as he asked me that question, it kind of like my eyes were open, and I realized, this is God. This is not the devil. This is not my flesh. This is not my figment of my imagination. I knew it was going to happen. And right there, in my spirit, God wasn't asking me to go. He wasn't telling me to go. He was saying, "You will go. This will happen. You will do this." And so that's how we ended up in Regina. We ended up in Regina. I moved my family to Regina because of hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit in my car driving across the state of Washington. That's how, and it radically changed our whole lives. Didn't it, Joel? And so I was just hearing the voice of God, just bang, out of left field. Let me close with this. There are some things we should do when we think we've heard from God that we can test those things out. I believe that the Bible is God's principle of hearing from him is, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. I've seen people said, "Oh, I've heard from God," and they run off and they do some crazy thing, and obviously God wasn't in it. They never tested it out. My attitude is this: if God's going to speak to me, it will bear up under inspection. The more I inspect it, the stronger it will become. Not only that, God will confirm it many times to prove to me this is really him. So here are a few questions to ask yourself. Number one, is what you are hearing consistent with what you understand the character of God to be according to scriptures? In other words, does it line up with who you know God to be? Does it line up with his attributes? Is it something that he would really do? I remember one time, one of the churches that we had planted, that I remember being in a church meeting, and this guy stood up and he read out of the book of Jeremiah, and he was rebuking the whole congregation. He was rebuking me and rebuking the congregation, and he sounded really spiritual and he sounded really holy. And as I listened to this, I thought, this is not the Holy Spirit. And we did not receive it. I just told him to sit down and that he was not hearing from God. Secondly, is what you feel God's saying scriptural? I remember one time this guy came into my office. And he told me that God had spoken to him that he should leave his wife and run off with this other woman. He said, "Well, Dave, did that really happen?" "It really happened." And I said to him, "You know what? You did not hear from God. The Holy Spirit did not tell you to leave your wife and run off with this other woman." Or I've had people come in and tell me, "You know what? God just told me to quit my job. So I'm quitting my job." I can't tell you how many jobs have been lost and how many families have been put in precarious situations because God told this guy to quit his job when in fact God did not tell him to quit his job. You don't want to do something like that unless you are sure and you have it confirmed. My attitude is always this: again, if God's told me something that's going to radically affect my life and my direction of my life, he'll also tell my closest friends. And so I will go to my closest confidants and the people that know me the best and the people that are closest to me, and I'll say, "This is what I feel God telling me. What do you feel about that? Would you pray about that? Would you bear witness to that, or do you bear witness to that?" The third thing is, if God's speaking to you, is it wise? Ask that question: is it wise? Is it a wise thing? Because many times I've seen people run off on tangents, claiming to have heard the voice of God, when in fact it was not God at all, and it's actually foolishness. And finally, the fourth thing is what God's saying to you in tune with your character and your gifting? For example, I've had people come to me and say, you know what, God spoke to me and he told me that I should be doing this. And knowing the person, I realize there's no way that God said that to this person. It'd be like God saying to me one day, you know what, Dave, I think you should be the next worship pastor of Harvest City Church. So I would go to Joel and Andrew and say, hey, Andrew, guess what? The Holy Spirit spoke to me. I'm to take over your job. I can't play a musical note, and I'm a terrible singer. So would God be asking me to be the next worship pastor of Harvest City Church? Absolutely not. It doesn't line up with my gifting. And so that's not what the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's not saying that to me. But I've had people come to me and say, you know, God's called me to be a prophet, or God's called me to be this, or God's called me to be this evangelist. And I'm looking at that person saying, have you ever led anybody to Jesus? No. Have you ever prophesied? No. Then why would God be saying to you that he's called you to be a prophet? And so it doesn't line up with the character or the gifting of that particular person. Finally, the last thing is, when hearing from God's, if you think you're hearing from God, ask yourself this question. What do trusted people and leaders in your life say about what God is saying to you? You know, Scripture says where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so, again, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, he'll confirm it with others that are prominent in your life. And if he's not confirming it with them, forget it. Wasn't the Holy Spirit. So that's it on this session about hearing the voice of God. It actually prepares you and equips you to do the very thing we're going to talk about next week, which is hearing, which is moving in the gifts of the Spirit in our final session on the Holy Spirit. So God bless you. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would really help us, Lord, to be even more sensitized to the voice of your Holy Spirit. Father, we all could hear better. And Lord, we want an ear that's sensitized to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit that would direct our steps, that Father, God, because when you're speaking to us, when we're being directed by you, we know, Lord, that there'll be incredible fruit and things will happen. And so, Father, I pray you'd increase our hunger to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us even more clearly what your voice sounds like. And Lord, help us to be wise and to flow with what your Holy Spirit is saying. And Lord, we commit ourselves in your care today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.